Okay, so next talk is by Gerald Combs and Nigel Douglas, and they're here to tell us all about Stratoshock, applying the power of Wireshark to system calls and logs. Help me give them a warm welcome, please. Thank you.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Great, good, good. As the slide says, I'm Gerald Combs. I am the creator of Wireshark. I'm also involved with the Wireshark Foundation, and if you want to learn more about that, we have a stand over in Building H, and we can tell you all about that. I also work for a company called Sysdig, and I'm here with one of my coworkers, Nigel Douglas, who, good news for you, he's a much better presenter than I am, and he'll be talking a little bit about FACO and about Stratoshark. So a quick overview about what we're going to talk about. First, I'm going to cover a little bit about Wireshark and what it does and how it relates to Stratoshark. And then we're going to talk about FACO and how it relates to Stratoshark as well. And Nigel's going to give a quick demo, and then we're going to wrap up with some more information and have some time for questions if you have any. Now, I thought I'd start off... I thought I'd start off where I left off last time, which was 20 years ago when I was here at FOSDEM giving a talk. And at that time, I was talking about a project called Ethereal, and I thought I'd give a status update on Ethereal. The big news is we changed the name to Wireshark. We got a new name. The project grew. In fact, it grew enough such that we now have conferences for Wireshark. One in the U.S. and one in the EU each year. We went ahead and started a foundation called the Wireshark Foundation. Again, if you want to learn more about that, we'd be happy to talk to you over at the Wireshark stand and fill you in on that. So as more of a Wireshark status update, Wireshark actually has grown to be a pretty good-sized application. And we're up to, depending on how you measure code, we're up to either 3.5 million lines of code or 6 million lines of code, whether or not you count automatically generated code. And that's been generated and created by about 2,300 contributors so far. And that bottom number is something that I really love. I really love the fact that so many people have contributed to the project and are involved. It's really great to be part of something like that. But we have a lot of users as well. We get about, on the servers that I manage and the servers I have insight into, we have about We have about 1.5 million downloads per month, and most of those for Windows and Mac OS. I don't really have a lot of insight into how many Linux users we have because I just don't have access to those statistics, but I'm assuming that it's kind of in line with the Windows and the Mac OS users. We have a pretty active user community. We have an active question and answer site, an active Discord server. Mainly, us aren't really active, but we still have them. And that's also kind of an indication that we have a pretty large and popular project. Next slide. Now, the statistic here. We support 3,000 protocols. That's a pretty obvious thing. There's these things called network protocols, which are standardized, and Wireshark supports about 3,000 of them. But that second number, we support 250,000 display filter fields, and that's an indication of how large and useful Wireshark is, but it's not really obvious what fields are, so maybe I should explain what those are and how they make Wireshark useful. The core of Wireshark is its dissection engine. And by that I mean when you click on a packet in Wireshark, it takes that packet and breaks it down into its constituent fields, and it shows you everything about every bit and byte in that packet that it can. And so it'll take each field and give it a name, it'll tell you where it is and how large it is, what kind of data you're looking at, whether it's a number or an IP address or a string or what have you. And the thing about this dissection engine that makes it so useful is that you can filter on those fields. And the big and obvious thing is that this little text area at the top of the application that lets you type in these filters and drill down to the traffic that you're really interested in. For instance, up at the top, you can see a filter for ICMP and any frame that has a string ABC def, blah, blah, blah. But there are all sorts of other features in Wireshark that make use of this dissection engine and these display filter fields. For instance, if you look at the packet list, it's usually drawn in a bunch of different colors, and that's driven by display filters. You can pull up an IO graph and graph either field values or say how many times they occur over a time interval, you know, things like that, and a bunch of other features. For instance, if you use Wireshark's configuration profile feature, and you should if you're a Wireshark user, it's really useful, you can set up a filter that automatically applies a configuration profile if it matches the first 1,000 packets in a capture file that, when you open it. For instance, you know, if you have a Wi-Fi profile, you can look for a specific Wi-Fi filter and have that automatically applied when you open that file. It's pretty neat, pretty useful. The other thing to know about Wireshark is that we're part of a larger ecosystem. And if you're not familiar with the logos at the top, we have Kismet and Snort, Zeek, TCP Dump, and Top, and Map, and Suricata. And those are all based around a library called libpcap. And on Windows, you know, we used to have winpcap, and now we have npcap. But the next slide, the cool thing about libpcap is, as an application developer, libpcap lets me not care. It lets me not care about the intricacies of capturing on Linux or macOS or Windows. I don't have to reach down into those OSs and figure out how to pull those packets out. Libpcap takes care of that for me. And it makes things very convenient. I remember when I was very first developing Ithereal, one of the very first things I did was to write this little minimum viable bit of code that captured packets using libpcap and proved to myself, okay, we can build an analyzer on top of this. And so, you know, it started there and kind of proceeded from there. The other cool thing about libpcap is that it has a couple of file formats associated with it, pcap and pcapng. And if you back up one slide, the useful thing there is that it lets you pivot between all these applications. For instance, something I do all the time is, you know, I have a bunch of servers up in the cloud, and if I need to do a packet capture, it's, you know, typically like at AWS or wherever, those instances will have TCP dump installed already, and so it's really easy just to grab a packet capture, pull it down, and load it into Wireshark, or, you know, pass it through Snort or whatever. This time. So this is really cool. This is really great. It's useful. A useful question to ask is where we might take these two nice things, this dissection engine and this ecosystem, and see where else we might apply that. And the thing that I've been focusing on at Sysdig is taking those things and applying them to system calls and to log messages. And as it turns out, any other time series database that you might be dealing with. That's what we're going to talk about next. And the thing that, well, just to make sure everybody's on the same page here, the reason that it's useful to be able to capture system calls is that system calls, they're kind of the boundary layer between the programs that run on your operating system and the operating system itself. And so, you know, if you have a web browser or a shell or Wireshark or what have you, anytime they do anything interesting on your operating system, they're going to go through the syscall interface. You know, whether it's reading a file or playing a sound or connecting to something on the network, they're all going to use system calls. The nice thing from an application development point of view is that this is a standard interface, and it lets me, again, not worry about things. If I write a program that just, you know, reads a file from the temp directory, ultimately going to call open or one of its associated system calls and then read, you know, several times until I get the contents of that file followed by close. And the cool thing is, I don't have to worry about whether that file is on an SSD or USB stick or spinning Rust or on a network share. You know, that those system calls behave the same either way. And on the operating system side, this is pretty cool because I can enforce security boundaries. If I don't have access to that file, the operating system can just say no. But the thing is, like I said, anytime the programs on your system do anything interesting, it's going to go through that system call interface. So as someone who has written a protocol analyzer, a really useful question would be, you know, what if we can capture that? And what if we can analyze that? That's what my boss and my coworkers at Sysdig have done. They've developed a couple of libraries, libscap and libsinsp. Libscap stands for Library for System Capture, and it can pull system calls out of your OS through using a couple of methods. One is either a kernel module or an EPPF probe. Libscap also supports a plugin interface, and there are a bunch of different plugins out there for it. For instance, you can pull in CloudTrail logs or Kubernetes audit logs or GCP audit logs and, you know, things like that. But it, like I said, if you have a system where you work or that you deal with that generates custom logs, you can write a plugin for this and pull them in that way. On top of libscap, there's libsinsp, which stands for Library for System Inspection, and it takes that data and enriches it. For instance, with system calls, it'll associate user IDs with usernames and file names and socket pairs with network connections and things like that. On top of that, we have the Sysdig OSS command line tool, which works a lot like TCP dump. You know, you run it and it'll print system call information on your terminal interface. We also have Falco, which works a lot like an IDS. You know, it'll sit there and continuously read system calls and match them against filters and alert you if anything weird is happening. And the thing that I've been working on is StratoShark, which takes what I talked about earlier, which is Wireshark's dissection engine and its user interface, and it lets you apply that to system calls. And so, you know, that's what we're going to be showing off today. Right now, I'm going to hand things over to Nigel.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to keep this nice and short so we have time for the demonstration. I work on a project called Falco. And Falco is basically doing a lot of what we just talked about there, which is system call introspection. We use those same libraries that we mentioned there a second ago, libsinspection and the libscapture. The differentiator here is that Falco is a rule engine. So we take those system call logic, we build these YAML-based rules, and you can detect anomalous behavior in your environment. So for those who are familiar with Kubernetes, the CNCF ecosystem, they'd be probably quite familiar with this project of Falco. Now, Falco is great. It's probably the tool to use that I would recommend if you are looking for unusual behavior in Kubernetes, because you're not just looking at system calls, but then you can also, as we mentioned there a second ago, enrich it against context from the Kubernetes audit log, for instance, and even go further and then take the cloud provider audit logs as well for additional context on that cloud provider. Where Falco doesn't cover something is where we're talking about the inspection piece. It's designed so that we're not looking at every single system call that goes through. Instead, we're kind of streaming it. So we build a set of rules, and they will look for fine-grained context. So we have all this context that we're stripping from the metadata of those system calls. And we say, if we match that arbitrary context, then you get a detection, which tells you we know something's happening in your environment. But let's say you're doing troubleshooting forensics and you need more than just a detection. Maybe detection's a good piece because it tells you something's happening in your environment. But the capture file itself, the SCAP, so think of an SCAP the same way as a PCAP in Wireshark. The SCAP will show us just about everything and they can be rather large in size. So think of this as the relationship where we're at today, and it's definitely a funny looking image. So Wireshark has been around since the 90s, so it's been around for quite some time, and it was a protocol analysis tool, and you were holding these files in PCAP format. Sysdig came along, and it was trying to be effectively Wireshark, in the sense that, you know, it was closer to TCP dump, as Gerald put it a second ago. So you could run these, you know, sysdig.-w and write to a file, and it will be written to an SCAP. So instead of packet capture over a wire, you're looking at system calls from the kernel. As I mentioned there a second ago, Falco then is a CNCF project, so we donated that project to the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, and the CNCF then overlook the project of Falco, but as I mentioned, it's got a focus being on detection of system call activity. So then we go in this kind of reverse path backwards, where we've done projects like Sysdig, which created those libscap and libsinspection libraries. We use those same libraries in Falco, and now today we're forking those libraries again into Stratoshark. So what we're trying to do is go back to our grassroots and say, look, what did Wireshark do that was fantastic, which was that uniformal design that most people are familiar with in the user interface, where you can go into that dissection view and you can write a query and you can really get that deep visibility into packet captures. So we want to have that exact same experience for Stratoshark.